But the time one is all time everywhere, or is it? I mean, how confusing is that one
All
too?
time relevant to you. For example, Mark uses the analogy of you're driving down the road, right? Your car makes a left turn, a right turn, keeps going, backs up, rolls over, has a flat tire, runs into somebody, stops dead, has a flat tire in the front tire, has a flat tire in the back tire, has, and so on. You see all the possibilities? The engine explodes, the car catches fire. All these things happen at the same time. And if you were to look into the fourth dimension, you would see them happening all at the same time. You'd see all the possibilities.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
What I understand is how all these channelers can channel beings who saying that they all exist on the fourth dimension, and we are preparing us to make that transition up to the fourth dimension.
Why would you want everything happening to you at the same time?
And I don't see how we could live there anyway if we could. And since we can't, why do all these channelers get it all wrong? Is this consciousness of intruding on the channeling?
Correct. Certain amounts, yes. Those that you find that explain it, that you cannot live in the fourth or the fifth, are true chance channelers. The majority are conscious channelers.
We can't believe that any information coming through saying they're going to live on the sixth could be right. And they
Correct.
reject it and insert their own information.
Well, I was
Correct.
asked yesterday about, because I had mentioned about the sixth dimension. And somebody came back and asked me, and says, well, what about you skipped right over the fourth and fifth? And I said, I'll find out about the fourth and fifth, and I'll get back to you right.
Now you have the information.
Now I got the information. So maybe they'll understand.
Another analogy that is useful is tell somebody to get a box that is an inch high, right? And a box that is a foot high. Hold them side by side and tell them which is the bigger. And they will tell you the one that is a foot high. Now you tell them to take the box that is a foot high, take it all the way across from one corner to another, stand it in the far corner. You stand in one corner, the box is in the furthest corner. You hold up the box that is an inch high. Now, which looks bigger?
The little guy.
Correct. Perception. You see?
This was like the leaning room, and
that's
very far.
At where?
And that's very far.
They had something similar set up.
Oh.
It's kind of like crooked, so you're walking sideways.
I never had to figure out how they did that either. Well,
but you're not walking sideways, and you're actually standing up straight, but it looks like you're walking sideways. I mean, you could be looking at your Mark, and he'd be coming to you needing a V8, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just leaning to one side, and you're like, wow. Or the pool table that gets the ball and put the ball on the table, and it goes not the way the table's leaning, but in the opposite pocket.
It's all perception.
I did that.
No, it's very, very simple. Okay, you have the room leaning actually one way, right? And you set the table up so it's leaning the opposite way with more lean, right? But with the tilt, it looks as if it's flat.
No, the table actually was leaning.
The table does lean. Okay, next question. Oh, well, better put on the next speaker.
Okay.
Oh, that would be nice.
Ooh, good one.
That scene as I managed to get his eye open. I mean, that's perception for you there.
That was perception.
Okay. Can you put that down, please? Stop sucking on it. It's mine. Hello. Hi, Dee.
Hello.
I see Karen's got up in there.
Yeah, she's getting some tea.
Oh, that's very kind. And Tia runs out. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. The letter from Sarah kind of got me.
It's got me too. I think the only person that did not have tears in their eyes was a mom. I sometimes wonder about his emotional level. I think he controls them very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he does have them.
Oh, yes. But Tia, her eyes were wet. And Kiri was actually crying when she was reading it.
Mm.
You know, take gulps of his song and pause. It wasn't for dramatic effect.
More often than not, we run into entities called Sarah, where, of course, from our Syrian chronicles, we find that Sarah is a person of great importance.
That's Sarah.
I know, but I mean, where did the word, or, you know, Sarah come from? It has to have roots in Sarah.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And so our Sarah returning to Sirius has got kind of an ironic twist to it, you might say.
Yes, it does sit in a way. The fact that she has taken the fact that she is dying very well. From what grandmother told me the other day, is that she has taken a lot of pride and pleasure in picking out the perfect return vessel.
Mm.
And she's even polished it herself. And she's laid down to make sure it's nice and comfortable for her. She's got it all nicely lined and everything. And she's got little pockets in there where she can put things to take with her, even though she'll never see them again in her physical, corporal form. She wants them with her. A little teddy bear that one of the cubs gave. Yeah. It's hollow, this, that Kiri gave her. Things like that. And things that don't seem that much, but they seem a lot to her.
Hmm.
Her pen she was given from one of the pilots when she was going with Kiri to Sirius.
When is she going to be... When she gets interned, is there going to be a notice that some folks might be astral travel to that spot?
I don't think it would be appropriate for anybody to know where she is buried.
Okay.
We will hold a midnight ceremony over her. The pilot and the people that take her there will hold a ceremony.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she'll be remembered.
Yeah. And one other thing that she wants is she wants a wild rose bush to be planted over.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, she's very understanding of death.
Right.
Thank you.
Sure. Probably become more so as the
days get closer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question I've got, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Is with all that she went through here on third dimension,
mm-hmm.
with all that she went through with the Zetas,
mm-hmm.
with all that she went through on Hades base, and now all that she's going through with Sirius, would you say that this is maybe a shortcut to sixth dimension for her?
No. There's only two possibilities.
Mm.
She's either ready to come to the sixth dimension and needed to go through that suffering to cleanse herself, or she wasn't ready. Simple. The fact that she's been given a glimpse means that she has the possibility, if she comes to terms with it in the appropriate way, of going to sex. The letter implied that she wants to be Kiri's daughter.
Hmm. Well, there'll be some time between the rebirths, so.
Oh, yes.
It's still a ways away.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Sounds like a very special lady, though.
She's a very special lady. And the times that I've worked on her to comfort her, you know, to take away the pain temporarily, I mean, it was nowhere near what Kiri did for. Kiri doesn't talk about the images that she got from her. That's a private. It's something that Kiri feels very strongly over. But Tia's saying, let us move on to something bright and cheerful. She's saying that Sarah would not want you to be upset or sad at what's coming.
Can we entitle her letter?
Sorry?
Is there a way to entitle her letter instead of just saying it's a letter from someone who was taken from certain people?
Russ will come up with a title. If not, I'll help. But at the moment, I can't think of an appropriate name. Mm-hmm. Apart from letter of understanding, a letter of forgiveness. Or forgiveness. That would be a good name for it, but it doesn't sound quite right, you know?
We'll work on it.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
Okay. So on the webpage, we've got new stuff for me. Mm-hmm. With the how-to section.
Yes, okay. How to heal.
How to heal.
I don't think we have enough time on this tape, but let us lay out a basic framework to start off with on how a healer should be. A healer must be able to put their personal emotions to one side. They must be positive. Not, I'm going to try. I will do this. They must be open and receptive to the person's input. Not, this is the way it's done. It's, okay, how do you want us to do this? What is the best way? A healer must be confident, know that they can do it. A healer must also know their limitations. For example, I do not see any third-dimensional healers being able to reach down, push down the bone and set the leg without causing pain. A healer must know something of standard medicine, basics, basic first aid, basic hygiene. Hygiene is very important. You can set the leg, but if your hands are not clean, you can infect the wound and cause more problems and possibly even kill the person. A healer must know when to refer the patient to somebody that has better equipment and knowledge. A healer must be able to admit defeat. A healer must be able to comfort the mind as well. If you remember with Kerry, most of the healing was done vocally. A healer must know how to make the person do the work. There's only so much that a healer can do. Lastly, a healer must not get emotionally involved. But that's the hardest rule to obey. Russ, have you ever seen me get emotionally involved? Mm-hmm. And how did I respond?
Crying your eyes out?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what was the end result?
Healing.
Mm-hmm.
Went beyond it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. I pushed myself to the limit. And that was done with love. Yeah,
of course.
And I knew that I could win. And what is the end result of my winning? She's got the one thing she really desired.
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. That's all because of you, Matoni.
Thank you. No, it's not all because of me.
Well, a lot of it is.
No.
A lot of it's her.
A lot of it is her.
Everybody... You gave her the reason to do it, mm-hmm. and the belief that she could do it.
That's right. That's right.
See? Well, without you, she wouldn't have had that. She wouldn't even started trying.
Mm-hmm. But we set up the framework for her to achieve the goal. And she's got the gift that she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'll have one more.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And when she's born, we'll send her a special present.
Karen, any questions for Carl?
Russ told me that you were going to try and help with my problem.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's still plaguing you?
Not as much, no.
Okay, what we want you to do is, of course, cranberry juice.
Okay.
We want you to lay it off of anything that has a yeast in it. Just for a week. So, no bread.
No beer.
No beer.
No
pizza.
I ordered, or I had to order pizza tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no pizza, no bread. Well, that's my basic diet there.
Mm-hmm. No fruit.
No fruit. Except for cranberry juice.
Except for cranberry juice.
I don't eat food anyway. I'm allergic to it.
Okay. Can you think of anything else that has yeast in it?
Wine has yeast.
Wine? No wine.
Wine has yeast?
Mm-hmm. How do you think it gets brewed? Don't sit it in the shell. Mm-hmm. And besides, why is it a fruit?
Great.
Mm-hmm. Lovely of all alcohol.
Exactly. All alcohol is out.
Milk too?
No.
Not so.
No milk. No yeast in milk.
Yogurt. That's got yeast.
Mm-hmm. Just for a week. Okay?
Okay.
Now, also, we want you to repeat 10 times each night before you go to rest. I will heal. I will get better.
Okay. I can do that.
Mm-hmm. 10 times each night. Just before you go to bed. Okay. Unless, of course, you're doing other things, then you say it 10 times before.
Or after.
Or after. If you have the energy. Okay.
Thank you.
Also,
okay, now apart from the yeast, because the yeast infection is basically gone.
Mm-hmm. Still a trace
there. Right, there's a trace, but it's basically gone.
Okay, now the other one. Okay, we're going to use the same methods that we used on Kerry. Okay? We want you to generate in front of you a clear white ball. About yay big, right? We want you to visualize this white ball, right?
Okay.
Now, we want to you to visualize a streak of energy coming out and going, bop, right in the head. And it goes all the way down through the chakras, right?
Okay.
And it goes back into the ball. And then it goes back through the ball, dropping off the negative energy into the third eye. And then boom, 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 all the way down through the crown chakra, the brow chakra, all the way down, right through the root chakra and back out. Now, to start off with, we want it to go at this speed. And then, as you get that pattern down, we want it to go faster and faster and faster until it becomes a complete blur. The whole entire cycle becomes a blur. After a couple of minutes, we want you to stop with all the energy that stream's picked up, stopping in the ball. Then we want you to visualize the ball being destroyed, obliterated, exploding away from it, being pushed away, which is you pushing away all the bad, all the lumps and the cysts and calcium deposits, all being pushed away. Then we want you to pick up the healing crystal and we want you to hold the healing crystal. Now, the energy in the healing crystal goes through the same process apart from it does not get sucked back into the energy crystal, into the healing crystal. It gets dumped out into the ground. In doing this, what is happening is anything that is left behind in dirty energy is being dumped and dropped out.
Okay.
Okay. What we can do at a later date when there is more time is go through a full healing. Now, this has got to be done when you have the time afterwards to go and rest, because you will be tired. You remember that Kerry had to lie down for quite a while, Russ?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cups of tea. Oh, another thing. Green tea.
I drank my first green tea yesterday.
Keep that up. Carrot juice and carrots. You can drink that. Fresh, clear water.
Yes.
Got to drink some of that. Keep the fluids up. Any more questions?
No.
Okay.
I'm seeing you again.
Oh, that's good. Also, Russ can help by focusing energy. And this is a good lesson for you. Something that we wanted you to do, but couldn't do it with Kerry because...
Natural.
Mm-hmm. But you can use your hands. Pump energy through with your hands.
Okay.
Okay? Any more questions?
No, but no.
And it's good to be useful. Karen, any more questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. See you guys later.
Hi, Tia.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Sure. How much time we got left on the
12 minutes, 35 seconds?
Wouldn't do that anyway. It's not nice to spit at people. It's not nice to abuse their property. Okay. Let me put on the last person with the special guest speaker. But before I do that, I'm sorry, forgive me.
That's okay. We thought Mark's mouth had a hole in it.
I can't control it properly. I was going to gargle. Yeah, I'm back. My eyes are dry and clean.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's get the special guest speaker out of the way first.
Okay.
Let me put the little dynamo in my lap and get him to behave himself. God, that feels strange, having Mark's body roll over like that when I'm actually sitting with the little guest speaker in my lap. Go ahead, talk. Lily, use the system, not telepathically. Hello and welcome to tonight. I'm going to talk about the alien mindset. The alien mindset of less evolutionary developed individuals seems to me to be a serious threat to the safety and well-being of third-dimensional bipedal life forms or humanoids. It is, throughout history, seen to me to be one race leaded by another in a manipulative, condescending, arrogant sort of way. It seems that these species, not only bipedal, gray-skinned, carbon-based life forms, but other life forms based, seem to react in a condescending way to the intelligence. What funny.
Sorry. It sounds so cute.
It was the gray skin by carbon-based life form.
Let us continue. It is necessary for the understanding of all parties concerned that it is a path that is walked. The letter from young lady said that she held no malice. It is necessary to understand that they too have to live with what they have done. The more evolved they come, the more pity they should realize in the fact of what they have done. It is necessary for them to continue, even though it is wrong, for their evolutionary process and yours. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry.
I do apologize for my son.
No, it's all right. I was just kind of funny, though, to see someone with the mentality of Ashtar talking in the voice of
Mickey Mouse.
Well, he says that he does that so that you can differentiate the fact that he's only in a little body.
He is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could actually picture him. It was just so cute. Especially when he looked at me and said, "What was funny?"
He doesn't have the same sort of sense of humor. He was trying to reason out. I got him to slow down to an understandable level this time, didn't I?
Yeah, I was wondering if he actually took a breath in between all that.
I don't think he did. Well, first of all, he transmitted the whole entire dissertation telepathically, which took him about 10 seconds.
Oh, geez.
And then when he realized, well, when I informed him that it was not being received by the machine, we all heard it. Made Tia sit up like somebody had stuck a spike up her. Never mind. But, yeah, everybody received it. Unfortunately, it was too fast for the machine and wasn't transmitted at the machine. He just transmitted it on a wide band. You know what little boys are like. Well,
still, it's good to hear him. He's been a rather good boy lately, then, that he gets to channel.
Yes. Painfully good. Has not dismantled any fluffy toys, any dolls, anything.
Okay, I'm glad this is a reward.
Mm-hmm.
One that's reward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other one is we're going to take him down to the rock garden. That's a crystal garden. You know the one that is stashed away where people go from time to time to be alone?
I've heard of it.
No, it's a place that you go to be alone. People won't go there. For example, if I go down there and there's somebody in there, I won't go in. What I would do is when it's empty, which will probably be about 3 o'clock our time in the morning, is I wake him up, take him down there and let him sit in there and be comfortable.
How do you know someone's in there?
Normally a pair of shoes outside.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Or a jacket, or the door will be closed.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The instructions in the car.
Sorry?
The instructions in the car. Check it out on the map.
Yeah.
If I can't stop and do something after 3.
3 in the morning?
Yeah, when I'm up your time. That's mm-hmm. only 5 in the morning.
Yeah. But I'm going to take him down there, not tonight, but soon. That's something else he's got to learn, it's patience. Okay, questions for me.
He's like, ooh, look at silicone-based life forms.
Wait, he said carbon, didn't he?
Yeah, but the crystals are silicone-based.
Yeah, correct, they would be.
Let's see, since we have... 5 minutes and 26 seconds left to go.
Oh, before Karen has to depart.
No, before tape runs out.
Oh, we're keeping a chronometer on it, are we?
Well, I guess. I got the feeling it might be right.
How many more minutes?
5 minutes.
Of course.
Okay, let's continue.
All right.
T's just pointed out that's where he gets his abruptness from.
Where?
From me.
Oh, from you?
Yes, when I say, okay. Let us continue.
Actually, I have something in here marked Kiri.
Oh, does it involve lots of sex?
No, not the sex part.
Oh, bummer.
You get enough sex. You don't need any more from here.
I don't know. You got these guys watching in whenever they want.
No, they're watching out here.
I'm just hoping they get their eyes full.
Oh, boy. If I came down there, they would be all over your house and they would get more than an eye full.
I'm sure they would, Karen, mm-hmm. from what I heard.
I'll just spin their heads.
One way or another.
Okay. Name of coercion. I just,
in the sense of the word.
I've essentially opened their eyes.
Remember, everyone's been their head too.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would I bring down with me? I could bring down my two-way. I could bring my squirty one that vibrates on a...
Sorry. Let's get back to business, please. The question is asked, would that mean that if you had some kind of chronograph or wristwatch, that it would keep different time for you than someone else? And this is... if you're on a spaceship, what time system?
Yes.
And the answer is, in that sense, the chronograph will not work. Electromagnetic fields would allow it to not operate in the way that it was designed. So if you're on a spaceship, my wristwatch is going to not work anymore. Correct?
I think that's a laugh.
Kiri goes giggle, 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 giggle.
No, those other ones in between.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he, he. That's baloney. If you have a chronometer that works on electrical impulses, it will continue to work. Here is the reason. Because you are inside the electromagnetic field, it surrounds you, but does not penetrate. Because it is all focused outside, externally, to create the gravimetrical field. You are inside the gravimetrical field, which means it does not interfere with you. Everything is focused outside. So therefore, the electric magnetical field does not affect you, because the gravimetrical field pushes it away. You're here on this side, right? This is the wall. Gravimetrical energy is focused out, right? And then the gravimetrical field pushes the electromagnetic field out, which gives the lift. Very simple. It is focused away from it. So your chronometer would continue to function. However, as you approach, as Amol pointed out, the speed of light, it would work at a slower rate than externally. Because time would be passing faster externally outside the field that you've generated. Things would seem accelerated. For example, let's just say my two fingers, or Mark's two fingers, are walking. That's normal speed. You, inside, would see this. If you were looking outside.
So if it took 5 light years to get to Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's say let's take an hour. Let's say light Sirius is 1 hour, or light. A light hour.
Okay.
Okay. Now I get in a ship and I travel to Sirius 1 light hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now my watch is 9:30 and Karen has to go.
Okay.
But when I get to Sirius, is it going to say 10:30, or is it going to be a lot slower?
Now, it will say 10:30.
By love. But the actual time is different.
Correct. Extended. Bye, Karen.
The time on Sirius, then, is actually...
Take care.
Yes, you do.
I will.
Is actually 11:30.
Correct. You see, it's the relevant time.
Right.
Okay. Inside time will continue. If it takes you an hour to travel that distance, it's only a light hour away. Right, then it takes you 1 hour to travel there. But that hour has more than elapsed.
I think I mental telepathy is starting to start in the car. Well, see you later.
It doesn't work.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, now let us say that it is 1 light hour away. But you cover that distance in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Takes you 30 light minutes.
Right.
Pardon me. Mm-hmm. Or pardon Mark's body, rather. So, what is happening? You are traveling at twice the speed of light.
Right.
Which means that you have traveled the distance from your planet to our planet in half an hour. Half an hour of your time. But an hour has actually elapsed from Earth time. It's only taking you half an hour. It's taking you half an hour. Let's say the times are exactly the same. It's 9:30 Earth time, 9:30 Sirius time, right? Your time where you're going to land. Okay? Half an hour has elapsed. It's now 10 o'clock for you, right? But because it takes light an hour to travel from there, it's 10:30 when you arrive there.
Right.
But meanwhile, back on Earth, 2 hours have elapsed. Return trip, right? How much time has elapsed?
Well, according to Amalden, 4 hours have elapsed.
Correct.
Now, how far is Hadesbase in light speed terms?
It's about 9 minutes.
10 minutes.
But this is where it gets tricky. We can get from Hadesbase to Earth, right, in about 3 minutes. That's from getting in the aircraft to getting to your planet.
Right.
But that's manipulation of dimensions.
That's why Mark can get there faster than 9 minutes, even though he cannot travel at the speed of light.
Now, he's traveling at a totally different...
He can't travel at the speed of thought.
He's traveling a totally different route.
Right. Because he's manipulating time.
Correct. Now, if you remember, going back almost 4 years, right? Well, over 4 years, actually. I took a trip. I was 3 months pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. I came back 6 months pregnant. But I was only gone for, what, a week of your time? How?
You have a shorter time frame.
Correct. And I had 3 months great relaxation. But I could not go back in that 3 month period.
Right. So that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You just run into yourself.
Correct. But I could have gone back as long as I avoided all the places that I went to.
Yeah, but that's rather impossible.
And also the fact that I'd have to avoid people that I was hanging out with.
And what happens if you meet yourself? We're talking paradox.
Exactly.
But the time continuum does not collapse.
No.
Assuming, because it has happened before.
Yes. It can be very confusing.
Right.
There's a story told of a guy or a man that met himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked himself what was going to happen. Because he assumed that the person was a future aspect. In actual fact, the person was a past aspect. Totally confused. The guy sat down and almost had a nervous breakdown because he couldn't figure it out. Because you don't know if it's a future or a past aspect, because the fact that I happen to look exactly the same as I did 4 years ago, or 4.5 years ago when I lost my virginity to a man as opposed to women, is besides the point.
Yeah, but you're a different person.
No.
Yeah.
I've changed, but not that much.
Well, I don't know about that.
Physically, I am the same person.
Well, physically, true.
Mm-hmm.
But in talking to you, you're a different person.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for example, the young lady who idolized you and came to Hadesbase to work with you, specifically, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of your talents and your reputation that
uh-huh.
so far preceded you.
Mm-hmm.
She knew you as somebody was this one person on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
Now she meets you later on. And has she met you 4 years ago, before you met Mark?
I would have seduced her in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. And you would not have been the same person. She would not have recognized the person now who mm-hmm. would be speaking to her.
The fact that I would love to make love to her, but of her own violation, she sure. has to make the decision, not me seduce her.
And you're also a mother now,
mm-hmm.
which means you have gained a mother's empathy and compassion.
Which is the thing that stopped me from seducing her.
Correct.
Is that she is, in my eyes, still a child.
Right.
Even though a very attractive, sexy child.
Now, she might seduce you. We which would be a paradox in itself.
Oh, let's say, seducing me? I've had more women in my life than you've had.
Well, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. You have better...
I had more women this year in my life than you've had.
Well, I'd brag about it, too. But the whole point of that is that, you know, still, that still makes you someone who is now growing and learning. And, you know, you put more time or things together in your 4 years than you've put in your whole probably 45 years of existence, more or less.
58.
Something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been quite a busy 4 years for you.
No more than normal. I mean, the fact that I've had two children...
It's about the term.
That's temple.
Four.
The fact that I've had three men in my life. No, four men in my life. The fact, 5 years ago, that I used to look at men and go, oh, I... is where I have changed. I have changed the outlook. The fact that I will look at a young lady and think, she's a nice young lady. And then later think, maybe I should put the moves on her and go, nah, I can go home and get drilled out by Tio or Mark.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just fun that, you know, in this 4 years, we've all kind of gone through major changes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now on to more serious subjects.
Okay.
Well, T is still there, right?
Yeah.
So, we had some interesting occurrences happening in our stock market lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, with you both there, I'm wondering what this bodes for how our current situation looks.
Tia says watch and learn and remember. Tia also says, do you know how many points it's dropped since January the 7th? Mm-hmm. She said it's dropped over 500 points.
Okay. Now, I need to put together some of the various tapes that we use to put, their predictions, Omal's and Tia's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember those dates, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, darling, when do we do a coercion how-to?
If we had more time, it'd take probably about 20 minutes to do.
Can we find this for next week, possibly?
Possibly, yes.
I'll leave it open for your own perusal.
Okay.
Thank you for this wonderful dissertation this evening, and that I will use it on you.
I think all those things, those three things should go together. The letter.
I agree.
Amal's thing, and then Leonidas' thing.
Well, I will explain this formally. Not quite 2 years old.
He's over 2 years old.
Over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My time does fly.
What's the subjective?
Yes.
That's funny. He doesn't have the mentality of Ashtar, just he doesn't have the emotional control.
He doesn't have the bladder control sometimes either. Sitting there growling at me now. The fact that he knows it's true. I mean, he's out of his diapers, it's just sometimes he has accidents. Right.
Now, he understands about web pages, doesn't he?
He could probably tell you how to do your web page.
Oh, good. Yeah, he's going to be featured in one of our guest speakers.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Mark's gift to Alex? He told you, has he?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat.
Yes, I'm going to get a particle generator for it.
Particle generator?
Mm-hmm. And what it basically does is it takes particles and generates a field for them to work with it. For example, they're very expensive. I don't have one. They're very, very expensive. A good one. I'm not getting the best. I'm getting one that will just give touch. What does it mean?